Well, good morning, everybody. This morning, we're going to begin our worship by singing our praise to God, and we're going to begin with Neil at the feet of his strength. Thank you, Yasha.
Thank you.
pray with me. Oh God, as we come this morning to worship you, will you lift us up on wings like an eagle? When we are weary, will you refresh us and fill us with your hope, your joy? Will you open our eyes to see your vision and enlarge our vision to dream not our own dreams, but your dreams? Amen. Will you join me now in the prayer of confession? God, you created our hands, beautiful and capable. But too often, we use them to grab what we want, or we ball them up into fists in anger, or we use them to hug only ourselves. We hide them behind our back, pretending there is nothing we can do to help, when we know that really there is. Will you just take a moment to sit with God as you join in these prayers of confession? Listen to what God has to say to you this morning. Now, you forgive both the past wrongs we have done with them and our failure to use them for good. Wash our hands and make them clean, O God, and show us how you are calling us to use our hands for you. Teach us, O God, to open our hands to share with others. Free us to clasp hands with our neighbour, the ones with whom we have conflict. Show us how to join hands with others to build your kingdom of love. We remember how Jesus used his hands to minister your love to others. Lord Jesus, make us like you. Amen. Place yourself in God's loving hands and receive the gift of mercy and freedom God is offering you now. That's the great good news. Listen to it. In Christ Jesus, your sins are forgiven and you are set free. Thanks be to God. And we're going to sing about Jesus' hands as we sing, Jesus' hands were kind hands. Let's sing together now.
this morning, one from Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 31. Do you know, have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and his people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these. He who brings up the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths go tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the second reading is Mark 1. Jesus heals many. It's verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." That is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A time there was a little girl named Goldilocks. One morning she decided to go for a walk in the forest. You know the rest of that story, don't you? You know it really well. You know how Goldilocks finds this empty house in the woods, and inside there's three bowls of porridge and three chairs and three beds. And when she gets around to trying the chairs, one is too big, one is too small, and one is just right. You know, the images that different people have about God are very like that. Some people imagine a God who is too big, too busy taking care of more important things to care about them. Some people imagine a God who is too small
too weak to meet their needs. A God who is not powerful enough to count on when the going gets tough. A God they cannot trust to be there for them, to help them when they need him. But this morning's reading from Isaiah 40 describes a God who is not too big, who is not too small, but who is just, share this with me, just right. In this, as we come to this passage, as Isaiah is sharing this message from God with him, with us, God's people had been in exile in a foreign country in Babylon for long enough to feel as if nothing was going right for them. In Babylon, customs are different. The people worship idols. Nothing is familiar. In Babylon, the people are far, far away from Jerusalem and from the temple where they worship God. So it seems as if God is far away. Everything has gone wrong in their world, and God wasn't doing anything to help them in the midst of their woes. That's how they felt. I don't know about you, but the news these days often sounds to me like a list of what's wrong with the world. Natural disasters and violence, wars and genocide and famine, and terrorist attacks and leaders who do not lead responsibly, and abuse and horrific crime, and death on the roads and disease, and it just goes on and on. And we can add our own personal struggles and griefs to that list too. And often we ask the same questions that God's people in exile in Babylon asked. Is God big enough and powerful enough to do anything about it? Does God care enough to do anything about it? And with those questions on our lips, God's people in exile in Babylon, and you and me here this morning, in the midst of that, we hear Isaiah's words. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Have you not understood? God is big enough to more than meet all our needs. The rulers of the earth are less than nothing compared to God. They are like stubble blown by the wind. There is nothing and no one who is God's equal. Have you not heard? Have you not understood? Look at the marvels of God's creation, and you will understand that God is the everlasting God. God's strength and power and wisdom will never come to an end. And then God asks a question. Why do you think I no longer care about you? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not understand that I am a God who gives strength to the weary and power to the weak? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not understand? With God on their side, the weary will be re-energized. Instead of dropping with fatigue, they will soar like eagles. With God on their side, the weak will have the strength they need for the long haul. God promises that we will soar on wings like eagles, and we will run and not be weary, and we will walk and not faint. God is an up close and personal God who is big enough to have all the power that we will ever need and more. And who cares enough to range that power on our side. God cares about you and me. God cares about our needs and our concerns. And God will be with us through the tough times. We have God's word for that. In this passage, God tells Isaiah and us, the readers, who God is. God is big, God is powerful, God is on our side. That is who God is. And you know, in Mark's gospel, right from the very start, we hear the gospel writer telling us who Jesus is. It is as if he says to his readers, do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not understand? Do you not see that Jesus is the powerful Son of God? Jesus is God up close and personal in a new way. God's new revelation of who God is. And in the passage from Mark's Gospel that we heard Margot read this morning, the Gospel writer tells us three little stories to help us see God's love let loose in the world through Jesus, the powerful Son of God. We see Jesus heal Peter's mother-in-law. We see Jesus heal many sick and demon-possessed townspeople. We see Jesus in touch with illness and injury and torment, bringing divine healing. We see Jesus in touch with human need, responding with compassion. We see the God up close and personal that Isaiah tells us about in the passage that we read from the Hebrew scriptures. Then we see Jesus early in the morning withdrawing from the world and its demands to spend God. With God in the quietness, Jesus is energized to go out and face the challenges of the world again. And then, though Jesus heals and gives out to the world, to people, Jesus goes apart with God. And then Jesus sets out on the next phase of the journey. Come on, let's go, he says to his disciples. We move on. And that's a pattern, isn't it? Jesus engaged with the world. Jesus retreating to be with God. Jesus empowered by God to engage with the world again. It's a pattern Jesus sets and repeats for us and for all his disciples to follow. In this passage, don't miss this, the gospel writer also shows us discipleship in action. But it's not Peter or the rest of the 12 disciples that he shows us. Do you know who it is? It's Peter's mother-in-law, the one he chooses to model discipleship for us. We see Peter's mother-in-law with her hands reaching out to Jesus for help. Discipleship. We see her using her hands to feed Jesus and the disciples. We see her using her hands to welcome her neighbours who are bringing the sick to the door. Discipleship. The gospel writer shows us Peter's mother-in-law using her hands to serve God by serving Jesus and other people, letting God's love loose in her world, just as Jesus did. This is what Jesus came to do, to say, this God that we hear about in Isaiah 40, that Isaiah tells us about so eloquently. You want to see that? You want to see that in action? You want to see it in a physical form, in a way that you can understand better? Look at Jesus. That is who God is. We are Jesus' 21st century disciples. Like Peter's mother-in-law, we are people called by God to let God's love loose in the world, to be the church, the body of Christ, in our time and place, right here, right now. So what is our part in God's story? Let me give you some hints about that. To welcome people as Jesus did, to meet their needs, to do what we can for them, as Jesus did. To join God in what God is doing in the world, as Peter's mother-in-law did when she welcomed the townspeople so that Jesus came, could heal them when they came. And then God calls us apart in prayer, as Jesus did, to come close, to spend time with God, to listen to God's voice, as Jesus did, so that we are energized to go into the world again as we keep on following Jesus Christ, God with us. I do not know how God is calling us to do that in 2024. God is still turning the pages over, and so we can't see all that God has laid out for us in the year ahead. It might be quite nice if we could, but we can't. But I do know that as Jesus' disciples, as the church, there is a part for us to play in it, to play in God's story here. In 1945, Gorman Williams was a missionary in India, about to return to America for a well-deserved sabbatical, going home at last after many years of serving the church there. It was Christmas time when Gorman went down to the docks with his ticket and his luggage, ready to embark on a ship sailing for America. At that time, living temporarily on the docks were many Jewish refugees who had escaped the Nazis but had been refused permanent entry into India. "Merry Christmas," Gorman called out to them. "What would you like for Christmas?" And they replied, "We're Jewish. We don't celebrate Christmas. But it would be nice if we could taste some real German pastries again." Gorman went away. He sold his ticket to America. He used the money to purchase more German pastries than most people had ever seen in one place at one time. He carried them in large baskets to the docks, and he gave them to the Jewish refugees. His friends couldn't understand him. "You shouldn't have done that, Gorman," they said. "They weren't even Christian." Gorman thought for a moment, and then he replied, "No, but I am." Gorman Williams let God's love loose in the world, in his world. What is your part in God's story? How will you let God's love loose in the world in 2024? Amen. As our offerings are received, we will sing "Jesus Calls Us Here to Meet Him." You know the drill: remain seated and then stand for the last verse. Generous God, help us to be open, as open-handed in giving as you are. We bring to you now these offerings of money and our lives. Use both to share your love in the world. In the name of Christ we pray.
Welcome to everybody. It's lovely to see you all here today. And I can see some people whose faces I don't know. So you're very welcome. We have a cup of tea afterwards here in the church, and you'll love to see you and have a chat to you at that time. I'm sorry, our system's fallen down and I haven't got your names, but we'll find out then. And the other people I'd like to welcome particularly are Lyle's daughter Glenys. It's lovely to have you back every time you come to visit your parents. And also, I'm very glad to see Jenny back. Jenny, we missed you. It's not just the fame, because people did a lovely job while you were away, but we missed you. So it's lovely to see you and a lot better than you were. Now, the other thing is, we will ask you anyway, wherever you are, please keep praying for us, and especially the council, in this process we're going through, and praying for the minister that we hope to call to bring here to work with us. The other thing is that the Women's Fellowship are going to be meeting because we are hosting the World Day of Prayer this year. And the last time we did it, we got locked down within a week, I think, after that in 2020. So it's back to our turn, and let's hope for a better outcome this time. But that's the first Friday in March, which is the 1st of March, so we need to do a bit of planning to prepare for that. The other thing is that the concert tickets, yes, we're back in concert season again. We've got a fabulous concert coming up in March, and the season tickets will be available next week. So just come ready to buy those, because apart from the fact that it's a good discount on the general price, it is important, because it really helps us to know that we've got a solid base of people and of funds, because we've got to pay for the musicians, and we do have to pay more now to get really good quality musicians, so it is important. The other date that you need to look at in reflections and then mark in your diaries is that the congregational meeting will be on the 10th of March. Now, I know that seems a long way away, but 2 weeks before that will be the last day to have nominations for the Church Council. And seeing we have 5 members of the Church Council whose terms expire this year, and they need to either be re-elected or replaced by somebody else, it is really important that you start thinking about that and have those nominations. Come and see me if you need a nomination form. You have to discuss it with the person, of course, not shock them on the day. So you need to have those forms filled in. And that's by the 25th of February. It has to be before that morning service so the names can be announced. So do give some thought to that. Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring to you our prayers for ourselves, our community, and our world. At the beginning of this week, we ask your blessing on those for whom this is a new start. People who have just become Australian citizens. The groups who meet on our church property. And especially the staff and customers of Refreshed. May they continue to be a sign to the community of your love and care. We give thanks to the ministry and our women's refuge and the support they provide for people in need. Be with our church council and all our people as we wait to learn what lies ahead for our church in the near future. God of justice and peace, be with those, especially the children, who suffer pain and violence and fear due to the conflicts in the Middle East and Ukraine. We pray that peace will soon come. Grant wisdom, discernment, and compassion to leaders as they seek ways to end these conflicts. And we pray too that ways will be found to overcome the violence in the homes and communities here in Australia. Caring God, we pray for the many people who are suffering because of the floods which have devastated their homes and property. May they be given strength, courage and hope for the future. And we give thanks for the many volunteers who give their time to help those in trouble, whether known to them or not. We ask your blessing too on all our community who are homeless and those who cannot pay even for their basic needs. We give thanks for those organisations who offer them help and care, and we pray that government authorities will create more permanent solutions to overcome such need. Loving God, we thank you for friendship, for strangers' smiles, unexpected delights. We pray for any who are anxious or lonely, the despairing, the fearful, people who are grieving, those with dementia, and those who are ill. Be with those realizing that they can no longer do what once they could. Grant them acceptance and peace. We quietly pray now for those for whom we have a special care. May all know your caring presence. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Will you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trouble. Deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. If you're thinking about Lenten, if you're wondering why you've heard nothing about Lenten studies, we've been waiting for these to arrive, but they have. So everybody will be given a copy of The Sanctuary for Lent 2024. There'll be more about it next week. There'll be different ways that you can use that, personally or in a group. And whoever does the announcements next week will give you all the details about it. But I just thought I'd give you a heads up. If you were thinking, oh, there's no, it's only 2 weeks to Lent and we've heard nothing about Lenten studies, and Dawn has written about it in Reflections, so you will be able to read that there. So we're going to sing now. I will sing the wondrous story. Let's stand and do that.
Oh,
As you go out into the world this week, may you, like William Gorman, see the face of Christ in those you meet, and may those you meet see the face of Christ in you. And may the blessing of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Spirit, go with you and remain with you for all eternity. Amen. And we're going to sing together Shalom.